planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. There, Apollos is identified by Paul as one of the persons who has a very strong influence on the early church and attracts quite a following. In fact, one might say that Paul is perhaps even a little envious about Apollos' gifts in this area. And this passage that we read in Acts this morning reflects back earlier in his story. I was intrigued by the description of his speaking, his ministry captured by verse 25 in our reading. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with burning enthusiasm and taught accurately the things concerning Jesus, though he knew only the baptism of John. Burning enthusiasm and teaching accurately. Do you see a difference there? No? Are we still sleeping here? Burning enthusiasm and teaching accurately. Here we have a man who was eloquent, a good speaker, one who speaks with burning enthusiasm, or great fervor in the spirit, as the King James Version puts it, as excitement in all matter of flattering adjectives captured in the various translations, but also with some room to grow. He didn't teach inspiringly, he taught accurately. The story intrigues me and encourages me to believe that no matter how gifted we are, we still have the opportunity and the challenge to grow in the faith, and God will give us those opportunities. In the Presbyterian Church, there's an equality of church leadership that I really appreciate. Deacons and elders are ordained to church leadership. We saw that several weeks ago now in a special service which uses the same liturgy, the same questions that are brought to us as ministers of word and sacrament. We are called to serve together. The recently developing care groups of our board of deacons are a good example of this kind of sharing God's love and sharing the ministry together in leadership, and is much needed in our growing church. Luke Timothy Johnson says in his commentary on this passage that to know requires learning that leads to living. And Apollos comes to us in this passage of Scripture early in his ministry, and he meets Priscilla and Aquila. They realize that Apollos doesn't understand the full message, the full meaning of Jesus Christ. And when they heard him speak, we read that they took him aside and explained the way of God to him even more accurately. The King James Version says more perfectly. Before we can truly understand the shift that is occurring in this teaching effort, we must look at the education in Apollos and where that is rooted. We read in Scripture that he knows only the baptism of John. The baptism of John was not the same as the baptism of Jesus that we have come to understand as foundational in our baptisms. The baptism of John was a call to repentance, which is part of our baptismal understanding, but it's only one part of that baptismal understanding. The baptism of John required that people turn to God and repent of their sins. That's a part of our baptism. It was a baptism, however, that could take place over and over again, as many times as a person needed to experience the forgiveness of God. It was a baptism that wasn't limited to Christians or even with any direct connection to following Jesus until later in history. It's important for us to understand this context, because it's important for us to know that Apollos knew very well that piece of the story. He didn't misinform people about the things of Jesus. What he taught about Jesus was right, we read. The King James Version puts it most positively by characterizing his teaching as diligent, but it didn't reflect the full message. The grace, the passion, the inspiration of the message that builds on the gifts that God has so obviously given him in speaking. And it is this lack which captures Priscilla and Aquila's attention and energies. Priscilla and Aquila saw the potential of Apollos to share the love of Christ, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and they acted upon it. When has someone noticed and taught you? When has someone noticed and been a mentor to you in faith or in your life to turn and deepen the message that you have to share with the world? The history books are full of stories of gifted persons whose talents were overlooked in their early years by a procession of people until someone believed in them. Einstein was 4 years old before he could speak, and 7 before he could read. Isaac Newton did poorly in grade school. A newspaper editor fired Walt Disney because he didn't have any good ideas. Leo Tolstoy flunked out of college, and Wernher von Braun failed ninth grade algebra. Haydn gave up on ever making a musician of Beethoven, who seemed a slow and plodding young man with no apparent talent except a belief in music. What's the difference? I would say the difference is when we meet those teachers, those mentors in ministry. Earlier this month, as we met with other clergy in the Rhode Island Organizing Project clergy group that Pastor Dave and I have been part of, we were asked the question, who have been your mentors in ministry? Who have been your mentors in ministry, or who have been your mentors in life? In about 2 weeks, I will be traveling for my first ever high school reunion, my 30th high school reunion. And I hope to see there one of my teachers, because our teachers have been invited too, and I think she's still alive. But Mrs. Kruger was the teacher who taught me in ninth grade debate to speak. And to understand what that was like for me, you have to understand that the reason I ended up in ninth grade debate was because I couldn't get into biology, because they didn't believe that I had enough science background. I really wanted to be in biology instead. But I ended up in ninth grade speech speaking with a lisp and being challenged to stand up in front of people and give speeches. Mrs. Kruger had a huge impact on my life, and I think we'll be quite surprised to see what I've done with my life. The difference comes when we encounter those kinds of mentors, those kinds of teachers that are so filled with the love of God and the love of Christ and see the sparks of possibility in people. It has been said that God gives us a signed check, a blank check, to provide for every genuine need that arises in our lives. And Paul writes to the church of Philippi, "And my God will fully satisfy every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." Apollos taught accurately the need for repentance in those parts of life which went against the ways of Jesus, of the need to turn away from those practices which separate us from the love of God. But what Apollos lacked, and Priscilla and Aquila taught to teach him, was that it wasn't just up to the individual to make those changes in their lives. The good news of Jesus Christ as Savior is that the hard work has already been done for us. The Spirit of Christ comes to us in power to overcome the seemingly impossible. And the Spirit continues to work in us for transformation to draw us ever closer to God. Apollos knew the task that Jesus gave to humanity to live in a higher way, welcoming the stranger, giving of ourselves, treating each individual and ourselves with respect. But he didn't fully know the help that Jesus gave people to do exactly that. Apollos knew that one needed to turn away from the sins of the past and turn to God, but what he didn't seem to know as fully until he met Priscilla and Aquila was that one could invite Jesus to rule in one's heart and life, and the difference that would make, to risk transformation by giving oneself totally. He needed to learn that the Holy Spirit was a power that he could claim in his ministry. I think that this is the teaching that Priscilla and Aquila imparted to Apollos. And Apollos grows up into Christ, and it changes his ministry. We know from Paul's letter to the Corinthians specifically that Apollos preached powerfully following this time of conversion to the people of Corinth. And it was the community that continues to bring him along. Apollos was made for mission, a fuller mission, through the teaching of Priscilla and Aquila. We grow in our faith not only through the activity of our own efforts, but also through the teachings of others, as we too seek to share that love, and through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is available to all who truly seek him. Mother Teresa knew that the power of Christ at work in ministry must be God's and not her own, as she spoke these words before her death. "I'm still convinced," says Mother Teresa, "that it is he and not I. That's why I was not afraid. I knew that if the work was mine, it would die with me. But I knew it was his work, that it will live and bring much good. If the work is looked at just by our own eyes and only from our way, naturally we ourselves can do nothing. But in Christ, we can do all things. That's why this work has become possible, because we are convinced that it is he who is working with us and through us in the poor and for the poor." The story of Apollos in Acts and Paul's first letter to the Corinthians is a story of the work of God through people working together. Great things are possible when we trust in the grace of the Spirit of God to live as Christ calls us. Let us continue, then, to learn from one another, and let us go forth together to grow and serve in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. A word about our affirmation of faith as Gladys comes forward to lead us in it. The Belhar Confession is a confession that comes out of the apartheid church in South Africa in 1986, the post-apartheid church. And it is a confession that is under study in the Presbyterian Church right now for inclusion in our Book of Confessions. We read now as our affirmation a portion of that confession.
We believe that God's life-giving Word and Spirit has conquered the powers of sin and death, and therefore also of reconciliation and hatred, bitterness and enmity, that God's life-giving Word and Spirit will enable the Church to live in a new obedience which can open new possibilities of life for society and the world. Jesus is Lord. To the one and only God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be the honor and the glory forever and ever.
I'd like to ask the Mission to Maine team to come forward with your red shirts. Here we are. Let's see. Great. Let's see. This is Glenn. This is 9 out of 10 of your Mission to Maine team. Glenn is off preaching. He's a missionary to the Baptists this morning, so that's all right. But we had a great time this week up in Maine, and we wanted to share some photos with you and to explain a little bit, tell a little bit of our story. And so, team, as you see something that strikes you, or if you're in a picture and you want to say something about it, why don't you come to the mic and share with folks as Mike runs us through some of these pictures.
So this was, we traveled with about 100 other people from Red Clay Presbyterian Church and Richardson Park Methodist Church down in Delaware. And we, so part of the mission was getting to know all of them. And so we are broken up into small groups called pods, which you'll hear about. And so we did not spend the whole time together as a group. We were broken up amongst other groups, and it was a mix of people from different churches, of adults and young adults on the different work sites. And then we were assigned to a work site for the week. Mm-hmm. So this was us eating in the church that sort of hosted us for the week.
Phil, what do you want to say about this picture? You can stand right here and tell us.
This is at the end of the day when we regroup and talk about what we did, and we have a word for the night. Like, I remember one of them was belonging, rejoice,
nurture,
and reach. Yeah.
Tell Dan in the back, he wants to hear you.
Say it again.
Okay.
All right, so yeah, we regrouped at the end of the night, and we talked about the special word for the day. They were belonging, reach, rejoice, and nurture. And yeah, that's my pod.
Sort of our devotional time at the end of the day, and that we use those words to guide us.
Jim, what are you working on here?
The group that I was assigned to put a vinyl siding on the front of the home of a woman who needed it and would not be able to do or to afford that herself. Leanne, I think Sally mentioned her in the prayer needs. So our group put up vinyl siding on this house for most of the week.
Next check. This is me on a roof with a gal from one of the Delaware churches, and we were doing, that's a ramp coming off of the house. And so someone had broken his back, one of these couples in sort of this ramshackle home, and he couldn't get around in or out, so they built him a ramp, but they didn't have a roof on the ramp, so it was getting poured on and snowed on. And so we built him that sort of roof there, which we trusted enough to sit on, two people. And then we rebuilt the ramp as well, and this is, we're working with a drill, and going along with Pastor Chris's teaching motif from the sermon, teaching how to use power tools, which is always fun. It's Kwame. Let's see. What are you doing over there? Is that fence?
Oh, yeah. This is when we're putting up a fence for a family that had a disabled child, and I guess the family wanted to let the girl go out to play without constant supervision. So that was the coolest project, I thought. You know, it was good to see the fence well built after.
And good to see you so well dressed in it as well. Keep it up. Okay. See, it's Phil again. What's going on up there, Phil?
That's on top of the roof of a house that was had a leaking problem, because the tin roof, still a lot of holes where the screws were and stuff. And inside, it was like one of the worst places I've ever seen. It was so damp. Like, the children, they sleep in dampness at night, and there's no beds. They all have like little spots on the floor. So we fixed the roof, so I guess there's no more leaking.
That's awesome. Thanks, Phil. Dan, we got you.
In our project we ended up with, or project, it was a work in progress of putting siding on a house. The guys weren't going to do, so you might want to hire me.
I think that's Kwame. Was that Phil? That's Phil on a roof. Phil, all-star. Anything you want to say about this roof? Same thing. Working on that roof, getting that roof done. Okay.
That's a big roof.
That's a big roof.
Yeah. Steph and I are on the same site, and we had our homeowner, Tony, and his wife. They needed their house to be painted, so we worked on scraping the whole house and then repainting the whole house, which I had never done before, so that was a lot of fun. And Tony hurt his back, and so he was very gracious to have us help him out with that project.
Did he give you any special food?
He did
good. Trying new things, eating moose. Okay, next. Hey, we had some fun as well. Julie B., what do you think? What's going on here?
Well, I'm going to come to the mic because I have something to tell you. Now, we didn't work all the time. One of the fun things was whitewater rafting, and this was a picture. I think it was before we went whitewater rafting. But there was another thing that we did before we did whitewater rafting. They give you these suits to put on, you know, and we're putting them all on. Well, you know, Dave is so slim, he gets in his suit and he's dancing all around. Well, his cohort, the other minister, Nate, who is down in Delaware, both of them are wrestlers. So what do you think they did? We had a demonstration of two preachers in wetsuits actually wrestling and trying to remember holds from college.
Yeah. It's a small sampling. You can look on the website for those. We brought a waterproof camera actually rafting with us, so we'll hopefully get some pictures from that, including Sally stuck down in a raft, Phil in the water, almost underwater, some great stuff. I think that's the end of our little show here. But we had a great time, as you've heard and seen a little bit here. Look for people in red. They'd love to tell you a story or two during the coffee hour. And anything else? That's all. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, the group from Spain. This is the time in service when we give of our gifts and ourselves to the Lord. Mm-hmm.
to the one who is able to strengthen you according to the gospel and preaching of Jesus Christ, to the only wise God, be glory now and forever in Christ Jesus. Amen.